Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one, but two technology experts, occasionally. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when they're desperately trying to buy an iPhone in August, and we have to stop them. It's simply imperative that we must stop every single person in our life from going to saying, hey, I'm going to buy an iPhone right now. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe, if we actually do the show, have a laugh or two along the way.
See that? You know, we didn't think about that.
It's been a pretty bleak 2+ months without any laughter.
No. And no laughter at all. I mean, everyone in chat will say.
I mean, you get a laugh or two along the way, but we weren't on the way.
No.
We were,
and you can't have a laugh or two if you're not along the way.
Exactly.
So there was
no laughs.
That's really nice. You know, it's unfortunate, but we're back now, so maybe we'll give you three.
Okay, we'll try to make up for it. Do our best.
I think that's reasonable.
I think so.
Recompense. Anyway, yeah, the big news, of course, is iPhone season. And to be honest, you know, being off for 2 months, I will say, I think we would have been really struggling to, you know, come up with topics in those 2 months, because it's, I mean, there's, you know, once you look at it in 2 months' time, yeah, there's plenty of things to talk about, but week by week, it's been just like, boop, 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 little tiny drip feed, little bits of information, nothing really too substantial. But this week, probably Tuesday, in fact, we are expecting Apple Invite for the event, and I'm excited.
That is very exciting. Yeah, I feel like for a while we've kind of known a decent amount about these new iPhones. Mm-hmm. Like the new design with the stretched camera bump and whatever, like we've known that for a while. I feel like in the past 2 months, yeah, there haven't been a ton of, you know, new information that has come out from that. But yeah, I mean, we know some things. There's some new things that have come out since the last show that we'll talk about. But yeah, in just a few days, we're already, it's crazy to think about it, already gearing up for new iPhones.
Which is weird because I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I just got this phone like 2 weeks ago. And that's not because I had an AppleCare replacement unit and I did actually get a new phone 3 weeks ago. It's because I don't know that this is just because of the age that we are, or if this is actually a phenomenon that people of all ages are experiencing. But to me anyway, I feel like tech is happening faster. Like, I know the iPhone has come out every September since, I think, was it the 4S or the 5? I know the 5 came out in September, but I don't know about the 4S because they used to be dub-dub.
I don't remember.
So let's say at least 13 years, the iPhone has come out in September, every September. But for whatever reason, I feel like it feels like the time has compressed. Can anybody who is over the age of 30 chime in on this to maybe put us in our place, for maybe we're just, you know, young and like that's how time works when you get older? But I don't know. I feel like tech has just been faster and faster. But maybe it's also, I think if I had to psychoanalyze, I think partially, sure, the length of time, you know, dilates as you get older. That's right. Undeniably true. But I think if we go back to those formative years of the iPhone, 2009 through like 15, arguably again 2017, like when excitement was at its highest and innovation was at its highest, I feel like there was so much that you were paying attention to the cycle. And I think that when you're not paying attention as much, time appears to go faster. You know, if I buy a new phone and then I don't really think about the iPhone, in my mind, I haven't waited that long and then a new one comes out. Whereas if I'm poring over every scrap of information, reading the rumors, going through comments, Twitter threads, discussing it with other people, voicing my opinions, then that the extra mental effort that you're spending thinking about those things makes it feel like a longer period of time. And I think that maybe the reason that a lot of people are like, oh, a new iPhone already, is because, you know, you're not spending as much time nowadays speculating over like, ooh, is it going to be this or that or this or that? I feel like most of the time I see an iPhone rumor, and actually maybe we could do this. We could pull up the comments and see how negative they are. I feel like most of the time people are kind of like either apathetic or negative about rumors these days.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, you take, I was going to say this before even, you're talking about like, it's already the next iPhone season. You take an iPhone 15 and an iPhone 16, or say a 15 Pro and a 16 Pro, and you put them next to each other, and you ask 100 random people to tell you which one is which, I think that the vast majority of those people would not be able to tell the difference. And obviously, we're tech people, we can tell the difference, but like, even still, there's not a lot new with these iPhones. I mean, there's like, you know, the camera control, which I basically use like an action button to open the camera, but I don't really use it to like take pictures and like change the mode and whatever.
Because it's
like, what else is new?
I feel like the biggest problem with the camera button, I agree with you 100%. I use it as an action button to open the camera, but I don't use it to take the picture, because every time I'm going to take a picture, my finger moves around and it zooms in and out. It's too sensitive, and I don't know, it just, I don't think that it does what they wanted it to do, because what I'm picturing is like, I pull my phone out and I'm hitting it with like my middle finger or my ring finger, you know what I mean, and then you like pull it up, but then I usually take my finger off and use the volume buttons,
yeah,
like straight up, and I still tap the screen to change the lenses, because the trying to use the action button is too like fiddly.
Yeah, and it'll annoy me sometimes. Like, I'll use it to, like, I'll hit it to open the camera app, and then I'll like accidentally swipe on it. And I guess right now it's on like the color filters, so it's going through the different filters. Like, I'll accidentally swipe on it, and then I'll be like, ugh, why did it do that? Now I have to go, especially like if I have like something in one hand and so I only have one hand to use it, or like if I'm on my bike and I like grab my phone off the bike mount and I like only have one hand, like, yeah, it doesn't work very well. And so, but my point is, like, regardless of whether it really works or not, that was kind of like the only big thing for the 16, you know, series versus like the 15. Like, there wasn't that much else. So yeah. I feel like they all kind of blend together a bit. And then, like you said, when there's less to talk about and there's less excitement, it, you know, like, you get it, you're like, oh, I have my new phone, and it's much quicker, you kind of forget about all that.
You know what else I'm thinking about on that note? When was the last time somebody came up to you and was like, oh my god, is that the new iPhone?
I actually think that it was the 13 Pro. Is that the one in purple?
The 14 Pro.
Then it must have been, because I do remember, like, I was unboxing that phone and someone noticed, probably because of the color, right? Because the 13 and the 14 didn't really look that different.
Just the dynamic island visually. Yeah,
and I don't know. Maybe they saw the island. Maybe they just saw the color. But that was, and even that was just like, oh, you know, maybe they happened to notice it. But it's nothing like the past. Like, you would get an iPhone 4 or like an iPhone 5, and that was like, totally
dude,
different.
Oh my god, I remember in eighth grade I got the iPhone 5, and I everybody was talking about it, like, to the point where I was like, I have to hide it, I don't want to. It was like the paparazzi would swarm you if you had an iPhone 5 in 2012. It was genuinely like that big of a deal. And I understand that we're not going to get to that point again, because, again, that was fifth ever iPhone. We're on 17 now.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I get it. And it's not, I'm not asking for another iPhone 5. But I do think that this year's iPhone rumors have been, I would say, better than last year.
Sure.
But they haven't recaptured that magic. I mean, even, like, I'm trying to think of like when iPhone rumors were pretty crap. There were bad years for iPhone rumors, but I think they were isolated. Like 2015, you know, it was an S year. It wasn't a huge deal, but I think it was still, you know, people were still pretty invested in it. 2016, that I would say that was the most recent time that the iPhone rumors were like actually bad, because it was the first time that they did three iterations on a design, and they didn't really do a whole lot. And I remember people being very disappointed. But
was that the 7?
That was the 7.
Okay.
But they did do the 7 Plus with the double camera.
Right.
So that was kind of a big thing.
Right.
But then keep in mind that, you know, when you had a year like that, that was kind of, you know, not the most exciting, the iPhone 10 came out the next year, which blew the entire smartphone world open.
Don't forget about the space dust, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't forget about the iPhone 7 space dust.
That's very important.
That was big. That wasn't a rumor, but that was, you know, when they announced it, that was big.
Yeah. That was, I mean, that video. It's funny. Nobody else kind of gets that joke. I'll have to work that into a video somehow so that people. I want to be able to say space dust and people know exactly what I'm referring to. Put it in chat if you know what we're talking about. Or, you know, if we don't. We might just sound like crazy old men.
The iPhone 7 space dust, if you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The real one.
I'll put, if you are correct and you identify what it is, I'll put you up on screen and I'll I'll read your message aloud.
Nice.
But I think what we should do now, given that we're going into, I would say this is the fourth or arguably fifth year of this feeling of like what's actually new. And to be clear, I have never thought that any of those iPhones were bad.
For sure.
To be sure. They've all been good. Right. But they're safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, boring. So what I'd like to do now is take a look at the Mac Rumors page that shows, you know, their sort of breakdown, what are all of the features. Because, you know, it's been a while. We've talked about a lot of these, but I don't know. There's definitely been a couple in recent ones, or at least clarifications of rumors that we've had in the past few weeks. And then what I want to do is go through the comments. Because, obviously, there's always negativity in the Mac Rumors comments, because everybody who comments on Mac Rumors is just the most bitter people alive. They hate everything.
Jeez.
It's unbelievable. They're just professional haters, frankly. But I think we should be able to get a vibe. And then maybe we can also find an old article from like 13 years ago before iPhone 5 and see what people were saying then.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I like it. Let's dive in. Okay, here we go. Here's iPhone 17 Pro coming soon with these 12 new features. 12 whole features.
Whoa.
My goodness.
Big year.
So the first one is the design. And I feel, you know, we can, let's zoom this in so everyone can see. Oh, yeah, there we go. Nice and big.
Never mind. I was about to say the 29, Kia Sportage, but now we have 29 freaking awesome gadgets.
Is that AI generated?
Yeah, look at the text. It's gibberish.
That's a whole other can of worms.
We can't get into that.
We
right
can't
now.
Get into that.
No, ignore it.
Disregard that horrible slop. here we go. So we've got the most recent rumor. I didn't even see this. Oh, available in an orange color. Oh. Holy hell! Whoa. Oh my god!
Steve Jobs would never
invent paint.
That's crazy.
Wow, this is amazing. So, the biggest one, this is a good recap here, because we start with, like, the biggest one, aluminum frame. This is interesting to me, because it does seem like a step back, and I'd love to hear from people in chat. Also, what's really funny is somebody saying, I would love to not have dark mode at all. I'm like, dog, you've been watching for 20 minutes. I think this is on you, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... Did anybody get the space dust, by the way?
Yeah, a couple.
Yes!
Jet black finish.
They knew it. They knew the space dust.
And then here we go, narrated beautifully by Johnny Ive.
Yes, the space dust! Okay, maybe good. We have talked about it before.
Maybe. I mean, it's iconic. So.
It is iconic. And if you don't know it, then, frankly, I'm disappointed. let's see. So, yeah, basically, this design... This is pretty much the final design. I mean, okay, this is a
That looks so bad.
This is a photoshopped render.
It's gonna look better than that.
I would hope. But it will have this cutout here.
I don't know. We gotta talk about that too.
Yeah. So basically the cutout will be glass as it is currently, you know, frosted glass. Mm-hmm. And then everything else, including the camera bump, all the way around the sides, is supposedly going to be aluminum.
That's weird to me, though, because they made such a big deal about titanium.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Like, how are they going to explain that? As, like, they made such a big deal about titanium, and they're like, now we're going back. And this is for the pro models. This should be the best material.
Yeah.
Why is it, what are they doing?
And it was also, it's like titanium for 2 years, but it was stainless steel for like 5 years before that. Mm-hmm. Starting with the iPhone 10. So they had the 10 through the 14 were stainless steel. Then we upgraded to titanium, and now we're going back to aluminum. So in my mind, there has to be a justification for that. Now, obviously, the complex shape of the case is probably why they're doing it. Because remember, the titanium is really only the frame. It's bonded on the inside to the structure of the phone is still stainless steel. So it's really just the outside. I don't know, maybe it was too expensive to work with. Certainly, I think it would have added quite a bit of cost to the phone if the camera bump and like those rounded edges, if that was all titanium, fair enough. And if it was stainless steel, it would weigh about 50 pounds.
Yeah, I guess it's just weird that, like, you know, it's not like they like made this design and they're like, well, we have to do this design now, so we better like switch our material. Like, I guess if it's worth it, like, for to have the new design to like go to aluminum, then fine. But like, they didn't have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I want to know why.
Yeah.
Why? Because. And you know what's the most fucked up part about this whole thing, is that we've sat here on this podcast for the past 3 years saying we want Apple to change something.
Yeah.
Where they don't really change the design all that much. And this is the biggest design change that we've had since the iPhone 12. But I'm mainly confused. I feel like with the iPhone 12, I kind of understood why they did that. This seems odd. I think at least Sam has been convinced that the reason that they're doing this new design with the glass cutout is because of reverse wireless charging.
Okay, but could you not do that with the current design where it's all glass?
You could, but it wouldn't be visually identifiable and different. So I get, you know, they're kind of trying to visually indicate, hey, this is a new functionality.
I see, okay.
And then the reason for the camera bar, as far as we're aware, is upgrades to the camera, which I'm assuming we'll find further down here. So we'll keep going. So here's the key changes are an aluminum frame. The back of the devices will have a new part aluminum, part glass design, as we were discussing. The rectangular camera bump. An anti-reflective display option. This is one that I have low confidence in this. But that would be cool. I will say the MacBook Pro's nanotexture is fantastic. However, nanotexture so far is mostly used on devices that you don't touch the screen that much, except for the iPad Pro. It's not easy to clean. That's the main issue with it. Whereas, you know, if you want to clean the smudges off your phone, you kind of hit it with one of those bad boys. That works pretty well. But all right, let's keep going. Redesigned antenna system. Rumored to feature a redesigned antenna system that wraps around the large rear camera bump. Oh, that, I remember seeing that one. It's going to be very, very thin, and it kind of goes all the way around, which makes me wonder, are there going to be less bands on the sides?
Yeah, that definitely could be. Yeah, because I was like looking at the mock-up picture, and it does look very like, I don't know, the camera bar looks maybe a little bit more inset, or it's like a little bit more dramatic of a thing. I don't know. It's just something, it looks like a slightly more inset, and I guess it's like the fact that it's aluminum and not frosted glass there, but it like looks more substantial. So maybe maybe that's also part of it. If the you know, the antenna system goes all the way around and then they make it wider to do that, like, you know, that could be a good reason.
I'm wondering if it'll look good. I mean, this is a terrible render. We really need to stop looking at this render.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pull up Sam's renders because I think he's done the best job of showing what everything's going to look like. But if we keep going down here, the orange and copper color. Oh boy. Longer battery life, slightly thicker design for larger battery. I'm a little nervous about that. Because, I mean, we're both Pro Max boys. You've been... Was it the 15 Pro that you came back to the dark side of the big boys?
Yes.
What would you think about a slightly thicker design?
I will say this phone, as much as I do like the Pro Max, it is big.
Mm.
It is, you know, it's a big boy. And I feel like part of it is... It's like hard for me to do stuff with one hand sometimes. Mm-hmm. Typing with one hand is pretty difficult. Maybe if you do that keyboard adjustment thing, then it's okay. But like,
true.
That's kind of hard. Like, you know, you like swipe up to unlock and then you go up to bring your control center, like whatever, like, or go to whatever. It's big. And I feel like if it's thicker, that's going to make it even bigger in your hand, that there's going to be more that you have to like wrap around. So your thumb is not going to go as far.
That's a good point.
On the screen. And so I'm all about better battery life. I'm never going to say no to better battery life.
Of course.
But making it thicker and potentially heavier too is definitely a trade-off with these things.
And I will say, for all of those trade-offs, this, at least the way that this is worded, seemingly is indicating that it's only on the Pro Max, where I'm like, I don't think that's the one that needs the better battery life. I mean, look, like you said, I'll never say no to it.
Right.
I ain't going to turn down better battery life. However, I don't really struggle to get through a day. And also, I'm on the beta, so like...
Yeah.
You know, that thing nukes the battery pretty good. But I'm still perfectly capable of getting through a full day. Unless I have a lot of, like, navigation or FaceTime in a day.
Yeah.
I don't really have an issue. So I feel like that would probably be more useful on the pros.
No, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I upgraded. Maybe even the main reason why I went to the Pro Max was for the battery life. And I feel like, yeah, I was doing that, like, charge up to 80% thing, that, like, software limit. And that was a little bit rough. But I turned that off. I went to just charge 100%. And now it's totally fine. I don't really worry about the battery life anymore, which is great. But that was the thing with the Pro models, because it's, like, basically the same phone, but, like, smaller battery. And so that... you know, would be more of an issue, especially months, year or two into it when the battery's degrading.
That is true. Yeah, battery, I have a feeling that in the next sort of 5 or 10 years, we'll start to get these solid state batteries. And I think that is going to literally change everything about tech. And I do think that we're like... I think right now where we are is we're kind of hung up a little bit on a couple of technological advancements that prevent some of those like crazy futuristic things. And they take longer to develop now. I mean, think of what solid state battery tech would do for phones, laptops, cars. Like, that will probably be one of the biggest revolutions of our time when that happens eventually. But for now, you know, you kind of have to make do with, you know, oh, the battery life is good. 1 year later, okay, I can mostly make it through a day.
Right.
1 year later, you're just plugging that shit in all the time.
Yeah, so better battery life, great. Thicker,
we'll take
questionable,
it.
Pro Max, maybe not the one to do it on.
Then we got the A19 Pro chip, which I love that, you know, we just, instead of... Yeah, rumors, yeah, modest year-over-year performance gains and power efficiency improvements, sure. There's not really a ton of information out there. I don't think it's going to be a big year. But what's crazy is I feel like the iPhone chips have just been, like, consistently so good now for so long. And I think, really, 2017 with the A11 Bionic is where it all began. Like, that chip... And the Bionic, the 4 plus 2 chip design is just so unbelievably good. I don't know if you saw the other day, there was a comparison of the brand new Pixel 10 Pro XL.
Okay.
And it is slower than an iPhone 12.
Wow.
5-year-old phone.
Yeah, I mean, even like my 2018 iPad Pro, like, I'm not going to lie, it is showing its age a little bit. It's like pretty slow to start up from like a cold boot.
Yeah.
But like, when it's on and it's going, it's totally fine.
And that's 7 years old.
It's an old device. Like, yeah.
That is nuts.
The A19 Pro versus the A18 Pro, or like even a couple years back, that's not the bottleneck for the iPhones.
Right. Exactly. Frankly, the battery is the bottleneck.
The battery is... Yeah, I mean, like, what... Okay, actually, though, what is the bottleneck? Battery is definitely a bottleneck, especially on, like, the not Pro Max.
Mm.
Like, what else are the real bottlenecks?
I guess, okay, if we're going to talk about battery being the bottleneck, you could argue that the chip... Like, I think that they should be putting all their energy into making them more efficient. We don't need 10% faster every year, frankly. If flagship Android phones are able to make do with performance from 5-year-old iPhones, we don't need more performance. I would take all of that and just put it into efficiency.
Think about that. 10% faster performance versus 10% more efficient.
Mm.
One of those sounds much more appealing than the other one.
It sure does. But I'll tell you what. I would love to see is what would happen if you ran iOS on like an Apple Watch, like an S9 chip, because they haven't really done very much with the Apple Watch chip, because I mean, what is there to do?
Yeah,
you know, you don't really need to iterate those every year. But I would be curious if, because I think those are those efficiency only cores. I think
it would make sense. I'm not sure.
S9 chip, let's find that out. I'm sure Chad is going to say it before I even get there. But it's a 2-core, and it doesn't say specifically, but I'm assuming they're 2E cores. So what I would love to know is, what if you were to do an iPhone running on, let's say, just the efficiency cores, no performance cores at all? What would that do? How slow would it be? What would the battery life be? I don't know. I think it'd be an interesting experiment.
Yeah, if it were possible to do that, it would. And then, like, I mean, theoretically, Apple is doing something like that. Like, they're running on the efficiency cores until they need the performance cores.
True.
But I do wonder if they could, maybe there's a way for them to be more aggressive about it. Or maybe there's some hardware change they can make to, like, first of all, obviously making the efficiency cores more powerful is, like, you know, an easy win. But, like, right, maybe there's some kind of software thing they can do to make it, like, more efficient. Not software, or software or hardware. To, like, make it more efficient to switch between the different cores, or, like, something that they could do to, like, focus on that to improve the efficiency rather than going for the performance gains, which we don't really need.
Because imagine the battery life on an Apple Watch with an iPhone size battery. That would be like a week.
The Ultra, excuse me.
He didn't get much sleep last night.
No, I did not. The Poor Ultra buddy. With you know, this has great battery life, and it's still an Apple Watch. Yeah,
imagine, and it's barely bigger than a normal Apple Watch. It's like, you know, 30% more battery, and you get... I mean, I don't wear my Apple Watch anymore. I'm
so sad.
I know. I got bored of it. But, you know, that's like 2-3 days that you could get out of an Ultra, at least when they're new. All right, next up, 12 gigs of RAM. So apparently, including the iPhone 17 Air... We're going up to 12. I'm assuming that the regular iPhone 17 will be at 8, which is where we currently are. And the funny thing is, it's like they're talking about helping improving the performance of Apple Intelligence. Does anyone use it enough to notice that difference? I mean, I'm not going to say no to more RAM, but that's kind of funny.
I mean, my thing is, like, I think Apple Intelligence is, well, we've talked about it. Our feelings on it. I disabled it on my phone.
Really?
I disabled it, and actually I would have disabled Siri entirely, but you need to have Siri enabled in order to use CarPlay. So if you try to launch CarPlay with Siri disabled, it's like you must enable Siri to use CarPlay.
Huh.
So
that's weird.
Which is, I guess it's like CarPlay is maybe super integrated with Siri or whatever it is, whatever. But like other than that, I would just turn Siri off entirely because I have no desire to use it. But yeah. my thing, like when they did 16 gigs of RAM standard on like the Macs, and if they're doing 12 gigs on like the 17 Pros and the 17 Air, my thing is like, I don't give a shit about Apple Intelligence, but like, give me the RAM.
I'll take it for me.
Exactly. Like
I don't need it for that.
On the MacBook Air, which I have been thinking about getting for a long time, suddenly save $200, right?
It's so funny how Apple gaslights us into thinking that it's a good deal to not have to pay $200 for 8 gigs of RAM.
That is true.
And there was another rumor. I don't know if it's on. It doesn't seem to be on here, but apparently, the new phone is gonna be like instead of $999, $1,050. But the Pro is gonna start with $256 instead of $128. So it's like. It's like some good old Apple math. They're like, okay, yes, we're charging you $50 more, but you're getting the previously $100 upgrade for half off. So it's cheaper. Which, and I tweeted about this the other day, I'm like, that is kind of a brilliant way to work the tariffs in, because that's what's happening. Also, the fact that Apple has not increased the iPhone price in 8 years, which is kind of incredible. They're just like, you know, storage is cheap. It costs them 2 cents. But then they get to pad their price by $50 and give you a deal on a storage upgrade. Very clever.
It is very clever, for sure. I guess they're running out of that, using that as a tactic.
Yeah, it's not going to last forever.
But maybe they'll do something else. I don't know.
Although, to be honest, they could sell a 1 terabyte iPhone for $999 and it would cost them an extra $3.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's all a racket. Next, we've got 24 megapixel front camera. That I'm actually quite excited about, because I will say, any camera stuff I'm here for. That's like probably the number one thing that I care about for the iPhone now. Because, well, one, I definitely use the front camera a lot for TikTok. Look, what can I say? That's sue me. Sue me, get me. Number two is... I'm doing car content. I'm actually in the middle of editing a new road trip video for my channel, The Middle Lane. Shameless plug. Check it out. I might even have a thing to put it up. Ooh.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, I'm sure I do, right? Surely I do. I don't.
What?
My goodness. Okay. I'm just gonna... You guys can just look it up. You can't click this anyway. Boom! There it is! Go check out The Middle Lane. But... the reason I bring that up is because cameras are very, very, very important to me now. Because I shoot on I hundreds and hundreds of videos on iPhone for those projects. Because, you know, we don't have a team of people. It's just three people that are working on that stuff. And I'm, like, driving. So, you know, I want to be able to use the camera control button to open the camera, hold it like this, record, have three different zooms, so I can get a bunch of different types of shot. And so when I see something like a 48 megapixel telephoto camera, now we're talking. And I think that is the main reason why we're getting that rectangular camera bar.
To make room for the bigger sensor.
Yeah. And I thought that I saw, I don't know if this is true. You might have to fact check me on this, but I thought I saw that it might be more than 5x. Oh. I don't know for sure though. Let me know, chat, if that is the case.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, compared, like, I'm a normie compared to you.
Normie compared to Sam.
Camera, yeah. But, like, in terms of cameras and stuff, like, I'm not making TikToks and YouTube videos and stuff. But, like, I still appreciate the cameras. I like to take pictures when I go on my various trips and whatever. And I feel like especially the front-facing camera... I use it a decent amount. It's obviously the easiest way to like take a selfie. I wish that it were easier to use the better sensors, but like, dude, the camera control app on the Apple Watch like never works for me.
Oh, I've had a lot of issues with that too.
It like it like won't like sync with the camera app, or it won't show me the preview, or like And even when it does work, it's still kind of awkward. You like hit the button and you're like, okay, now let me hide it so I can be in the
picture.
That's
true.
So I'm like, there's no good way, and I get it, whatever. It's, I don't know how they would do it, but like, there's no good way right now really to use the better sensors for like selfies and stuff. So I think people will appreciate like a better front facing camera. And then obviously the telephoto, like, yeah, anything you can do to make the cameras better is going to be appreciated.
What I'm wondering about, and this I think would be game changing. Obviously, a 24 megapixel front camera, you know, very well needed update that I'm looking forward to. But I want it to be an ultra wide. Because I feel like, okay, especially for the iPhone Air, this is why I think they might do this. Because the iPhone Air is going to have a single camera.
Right.
That 48 megapixel main, so it'll have the 1X, 2X. Sure, fine. But 0.5 selfies are a huge thing. Everybody does that. And every time you want to take a 0.5 selfie, you know, you're like, you go, you set it up, and then you hold your phone out, and you're like, yay, 0.5 selfie, yay, oh my God. And then the flash, and they look good, and like that's like kind of a cultural thing now for the past couple of years, because every phone since the 11, except for the iPhone, you know, the SE stuff, right, the 16e, all the normal iPhones since 2019 have had 0.5 cameras on them. So it's like a, you know, everybody has that. And I think it would be a little bit weird if they were to sell a phone without an ultra-wide camera at this point, other than the 16e, which is garbage. But I think if they were to do, what I would love to see is a legit front-facing flash, more than like the screen flash, or just like a better screen flash, and an ultra-wide front camera. That would actually be a really nice upgrade.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, even regard, like, the 0.5 selfies are definitely a big thing. But even, you know, like when you're taking a selfie and there's the little button that you can like zoom out or zoom in.
Yes.
And it like barely changes it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of times where I'm like, I wish I could just zoom out like a little bit more, capture mm-hmm. a little bit more of the scene in this picture. Because like, you know, you got to hold your arm out and you're trying to get all the people and all the stuff in.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of hard to like get everything in. And so if you could just zoom out more and capture more of the scene, like regardless of doing like a funny 0.5 selfie, it could also be useful for like a genuine, like normal selfie where you just have a lot of stuff that you want to capture in it. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, literally today we took a selfie and I was like, literally like at the very end of my arm to try to get people in. And it's like, you hit that little button and it goes like,
yeah, exactly.
And you're like, a little bit more, please.
Yeah.
That would actually, dude, a 0.5 selfie camera. And honestly, I think that's a pretty realistic expectation. Like, why else go to 24? Isn't that the exact resolution of the ultra-wide camera?
Mm.
Or no, now it's 48. Wait, that's actually crazy. That means that this year, all three cameras are going to be the 48 megapixels. The main, the ultra-wide, and the telephoto.
It's pretty cool.
That's hype. That's very exciting. That tech has really paid dividends for Apple in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're almost done there. Now we've got the dual video recording. So recording with the front and rear camera simultaneously. That is, I don't know. I feel like that could be really cool, or it's something that people will just never use.
I'm trying to think of what I would do. Like, for you, I could imagine you're recording your driving while you're, like, monologuing to the camera. Like, I could see that being useful for you, potentially.
Well, but the thing is, I don't think I would be able to use it in any sort of a professional way.
Mm.
Because, like, in that example, if I'm recording straight out of the windshield, I'm going to be way crooked on the other side of it. Yeah. Or I'd have to put the phone directly in front of me. And then, I don't know. I wouldn't use it for that. I guess you could use it in like a, like TikTok, to show both angles. I'm sure people will find little things to do with it. I mean, it's basically a software feature.
Yeah, I don't see why it isn't. Like I don't know if there's special hardware that they need for that. But I'm this, like, the only thing I'm thinking about with this is just what was it, Be Real, right? Where it takes a picture of both. And so I'm almost wondering if this is, remember Slow Fees?
Oh, God.
You remember that?
What happened to those? Those just went away.
So my theory is, like, maybe this is another, like, thing like that, where they're like, Be Real did it, and it was cool years ago. Like, ooh, we're going to bring it back, and then maybe it won't. Maybe it'll catch on, maybe it won't. I don't know. That's my random theory.
God, those were weird. The slow... What were they thinking?
Yeah, what... I don't even know what... Like, was that a software feature and they got rid of it, or is it still there? I think it was. I don't even... I don't
think you can still do... Wasn't that just slow motion video on the front-facing camera?
Maybe you're right. But they made a whole...
They had a whole campaign for that called Slow Fees, but that's... Actually, that's a good point. I've never used that. I've never, ever, ever recorded slow-mo on the front-facing camera.
I've, like, almost never recorded on the rear-facing camera, for that matter.
I remember in, I think it was the 5S was the first one that had slow-mo. Because it was, I think it was 720p, 240 FPS.
Nice.
Or maybe it was just 120. It might have been. But I remember, you know, using it back then. Because then it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would, like... drop something on a table and just be like, whoa, it's slow now. Yeah. Holy hell.
I remember that.
So it had a certain bit of novelty. I've definitely used it to take videos of like pets.
Okay.
Doing goofy little things. That I've seen fair. That on TikTok as well. People will slow down like their cat jumping up to like get on the bed and then they like bonk off and they make a silly face. So that's fair. The slow motion is fine. But again, never on the front facing.
Yeah, and never calling it a slow fee. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the simultaneous recording is going to do for anyone, but sure, why not?
And then I guess the final rumor, and this is actually kind of an interesting one. We really saved it for the very end. The vapor chamber cooling system. All four iPhone 17 models are supposedly going to have a metal covered battery and internal design changes for better heat dissipation. And a vapor chamber cooling system, which, by the way, has been in Android phones for like a decade at this point. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, that's Apple's very rarely first. But I think if they did it, they'd probably do it pretty well. I will say, I thought that we already had metal battery systems for the 16. Wasn't that like their whole thing of a new architecture?
Yeah, maybe they're changing other stuff too. I'm honestly not sure, but... I feel like, I will say that my iPhone can get pretty toasty sometimes.
Yeah, but
I found using it in any kind of like extreme heat, mm-hmm. which
or not, sunlight.
I think it's his fault, but yeah, using it in direct sunlight, using it when it's really hot, CarPlay mm-hmm. is a big one. Sometimes it'll get so hot doing CarPlay that like CarPlay will stop working.
Yeah. Like have you ever had it get like really choppy?
Yep, yeah.
All the time.
And then for some reason, the Find My app does it. If you open the Find My app, I guess it's just constantly refreshing like locations or whatever, but if I open it and I leave it open for a few minutes, like I'm just like keeping an eye on someone and I leave it open for a few minutes, for me at least, it does get pretty toasty. So
I'm
going to
try it.
You can see if it happens.
Is that
you.
With like the People map?
Yeah, just like standard.
And do you do normal map or do you do satellite?
I don't think it makes a difference. Okay. Like this, but theoretically, leave it for a few minutes, see if,
yeah,
see
let's
if it gets
see.
Warm.
I'll just leave it, just not touch it. Sit it down there and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, so overall, when we look at those rumors, I will say I think they're solid. Like, I don't have any feature there that I dislike, but I think it's really going to come down to the presentation. Because, like, I could see that collection of features genuinely being a really exciting phone. I could also see it being... I don't know. I feel like every year when the iPhone comes out and it's all fresh and you're like, oh my gosh, here's all these new things. You can like think of all of those features. But then a lot of them you kind of either don't use or they blend into the background or you don't really think about them. And, you know, I mean, I guess at some point they become taken for granted and you have to go, oh wait, that didn't exist until 2-3 years ago.
Right.
Like the 48 megapixel camera. But I think that was appropriately hyped. I'm trying to figure out, like, were there any iPhone features that were underhyped, where we were all bored, and then they ended up actually being really good?
Hmm.
Oh, perfect. Satellite connectivity. That's a perfect example. Because that is something that when it came out, it was cool. A lot of people were like, you know, they would go out into the desert and show it and show how it works. Now, it's not a feature that, I mean, I've never actually consciously used it. I think maybe once or twice I've sent my location via satellite. But that is a feature, that's a great example of that, where like no one got excited about that. But if I ever got lost in the woods hiking, I'd be mighty pleased about it.
No, I agree. Actually, one of my friends used it recently. He texted me and he was like, I'm at some lake or something. I guess he didn't. And he's like, I'm at some lake in Michigan or somewhere. Mm. And I sent this via satellite because I guess there was no cell service there. But no, I completely agree with you that like I don't use that feature, but it's a fun party trick if you're somewhere without connection and you do. There's like the little demo thing that you can do. And it is nice to know that you have that option.
It's a good safety precaution.
Exactly. Like just knowing that I have that makes, like, not that I'm doing anything like extreme or dangerous or whatever, but like just knowing that I have that option does, you know, make me feel at least a little bit better. So
if you ever get kidnapped, yeah. I'll find you. I'll do a Liam Neeson from Taken.
I was about to try to work
and you'll be the daughter. Do you know what my favorite part about the Taken movie was?
What?
Do you remember the scene where Liam Neeson is on the phone with his kidnapped daughter and he says, I need to figure out where you are. Throw a grenade out the window. So she throws a grenade and then he waits for the amount of time before he hears the explosion to figure out how far away she is.
I don't remember that, but
I promise you that's a real plot point.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Like, that's awesome. I'm sorry. Stupid, but how do you even come up with that? What writer was like, what if she throws a grenade so then he knows where she is based on the sound of the grenade and how far away it is? And then they were like, yes, that's going in. Never mind the impracticalities of if I'm a hostage. First of all, why are you giving your hostages access to grenades?
Yeah.
Second of all, if I'm a hostage and I have access to a grenade, why wouldn't I use the grenade to become not a hostage anymore?
Yeah.
I think that's probably what I would do. Anyway.
Tangent aside.
Yeah. Should we read the comments here? I want to see what people think. So we've got 26 comments. It's a relatively new article. And I'm curious to see... Whoa. Glad they're switching to aluminum. It's lighter than titanium and better at heat dissipation. I don't know how they're going to pitch this because the entire iPhone 15 Pro's ad campaign was one word, titanium. That's a very good point.
That's what we were saying before, that like that was their whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, most people have a case and I doubt anyone needs the sheer strength of titanium. See, that's a bad justification though, because it's still a downgrade. They're like, well, most people don't actually care.
Right.
Just for the aluminum... materiality, they'll probably come up with some clever marketing, specially engineered aluminum. Yeah, they're definitely gonna say that
for sure.
Yeah, they're gonna say, ooh, it's a cool and interesting thing, it's lighter, sure, whatever. I will say though, like, I'm kind of nervous about that because this is a good point here. They say, my only gripe with switching back to aluminum is that I never use a phone case. Same. And while my phone doesn't drop often, it does happen. And the titanium frame has held up wonderfully, no dents or marks. That is absolutely true. I have dropped, I mean, not on anything crazy, but like I've dropped, you know, a titanium phone and from like waist height, chest height, and had like just the tiniest little tiny thing that you wouldn't even really notice.
Yeah.
Aluminum doesn't do that. So I'm sure that they'll have a clever strategy and maybe it will actually be strong, and I'm sure Sam's going to drop test it and then we'll find out.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. Yeah, this is also good. Since one of the aluminum frames and rectangular camera bumps features, if anything, they should be called drawbacks. Honestly, kind of not. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Let's see. So dual video recording has been available for years. That is true. You have been able to do that in other apps. Insanely massive camera bump. Huge step backwards. Ugly. I'm thinking skip. This is such a Mac Rumors comment. That's like, this is every Mac Rumors user in a nutshell. The camera tumors are getting huge. No mention of zoom capabilities. Oh yeah, that was one that we talked about.
Yeah.
Skipping this iteration and upgraded since I upgraded to the 3G. Oh, so he's had every single iPhone since the 3G, but this is the one that he's skipping. I feel like people say that every year, and I'm like,
yeah, no.
But you bought the last one that was more lame.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Hoping for better heat management. It is so interesting. I don't know. What are people... Let's poll you guys based on what you think personally and what you see in that Mac Rumors chat. Do you... Like, what's the vibe this year? Are people excited? Are people cautious? Are people feeling kind of meh? Like, I'm trying to kind of get a gauge. Because it can be hard to tell sometimes. From, like, you know, I'll see a feature and I'll have my personal thoughts on it. But part of what we're trying to do here is speak to a more broad group. So let's see. We've got some responses coming in here. Meh. Yeah, there you go. Accident detection. That was another feature that came out that nobody really uses. I mean, not that it's a feature that you use necessarily.
Right. I will say though, I did crash on my bike and it triggered, and I didn't need it to trigger, but I was like, you know, if it had been worse, and you know, it'd be good that it triggered.
True.
So, you know, another fair point. It's kind of like the satellite thing in that way.
I've never had it go off.
You ever even
when
your
I
bike?
Even when I crashed a car.
Oh, yeah.
When it came out, and we crashed many cars.
It
didn't go off.
Yeah. Well,
So now what I want to try is we'll go back to, was I not screen sharing that whole thing, by the way? I'm pretty sure I wasn't. Oops.
Maybe that lasts a little bit.
Ruh-roh. Anyway, what I would now want to do is find, let's see, we'll go Mac Rumors iPhone 5. Let's see. iPhone 5 articles. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Okay, 20, let's go all the way back. Oh, older posts. Oh, wait, there's none? What? Let's just go here. I've actually never browsed these archives, so let's go through this together. We're going to go... all the way back to, should we call it August 2012, maybe? Right, but like this exact time, right before the iPhone 5 came out. I'd be very curious to hear, not even just for the iPhone, but like what was the news? Wait, that's so funny. Look at that, talking about the boxed software model at 99 cents. That is such a bygone era. Like that, the meta has shifted so many times since then.
MLB.com at bat adds support for Ford Sync. What is any of that?
Holy crap. Maybe things aren't as bad today as we thought they were.
Oh, boy.
iPhone-based self-checkout system. Wait, that's so funny because Walmart doesn't even take Apple Pay now.
Yeah.
But they wanted an iPhone-based self-checkout.
What is this video demo of what a 4-inch... Is that... Like, that sounds like an iPhone 5 rumor.
I think it is.
It's related.
The biggest change in the rumored new iPhone is the increase from 3.5 to 4-inch display. As we've seen in numerous part leaks, taller but not wider. They grow the iPhone screen up but not out. If some people are going to get that reference and they're going to find it as funny as Noah just did. Wait, this is so funny. They literally had a little demo. God, I remember how much... That's honestly a very accurate representation of what the iPhone 5 looked like, too.
Yeah.
Taller home screen.
Oh, the old...
Larger app folders. Oh, my God.
Oh.
iOS 6. Older games letterboxed.
Whoa.
Whoa. Newer games are in widescreen. That's crazy. This is a pretty good... This is a well-made video for the time.
Yeah, I feel like this is pretty accurate because they did do that. Like, they letterboxed some of the old stuff and they stretched some of it. They could stretch some of it. They could.
Wait, this scene right here, this reminds me of where I was so jealous because you got the iPhone 5 before me.
Mm.
It came out in September. Didn't you get it for your birthday or something?
Probably.
Because your birthday is September 29th, so that was pretty convenient for you.
Yes, sir.
So he got it right at launch. I also got it for my birthday, which is December 16th. So there was like a couple months.
Yeah.
And I remember that we went on a school field trip in eighth grade and you watched that Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Source Code?
Source Code. I think you watched it four times.
What?
Because it was like a 4-hour drive and that was the only movie you had on iTunes. And I'm pretty sure you watched it twice on the way there or twice on the way back or something.
You
loved Source Code.
I like vaguely remember that. Like, or at least you saying that.
Yeah.
But I do like, oh, it's a good movie. It's a great
but
movie.
But this exact frame is reminds me of that because I remember, I mean, I didn't have an iPhone at all, but the difference between a widescreen movie on an iPhone 4 and on an iPhone 5 was like, holy shit, that looks incredible. I remember looking at that over your shoulder, seeing Source Code and being like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane. God, simpler times.
Yeah, for sure.
542 comments? The previous one had 25 comments.
I mean, to be fair, that one was from today, but like even still, that's...
You guys are in for a treat, Steve SJ. Jobs. I'm curious why the odd resolution looks the same. Nice vid though. Wow, MacRumors users really can never be pleased. The best iPhone of all time. And they're like, that's not even any different.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what the landscape keyboard... Look at that. People were hungry. They're curious.
Yeah.
Seeing updated Twitter and iMessage makes me feel like it will significantly have more space. Slickest MacRumors video I ever did see. Oh, heavens me. Steve, since when did you move to Florida? Oh, funny.
Okay.
Nice video. Deleted one. I mean, people, look at the... I feel like there is... Okay, somebody said ZZZ would much rather have it wider. Ugh.
What?
Why would you want a square
phone?
I'll say this. It's a very good thing that MacRumors commenters aren't making any of these actual decisions. Because if that were the case, I can't even imagine what the iPhone would look like.
It would be the iPod Nano, that touch iPod Nano.
Yeah, you're right.
Just way bigger.
Because they hated, they were like, oh, bigger screen, that's going to be bad, it's going to be hard to hold. They hated that.
I remember the whole, remember, your thumb can go from here to here.
Oh, yeah.
The iPhone screen goes from here to here. That was yes. That was their campaign that they did.
Oh, my God, that was so good. It was so simple and, like, user-focused.
Yeah.
This changes everything all over again. Oh, wow, look at that. People, I mean, I feel like there's just excitement in here that I don't see that much anymore. Let's see if we can find another one. Apple's crowded. Delays to iMac. There were a lot of articles here that I do feel like there was probably fewer quantities of bigger leaks and rumors. Whereas now we have like, an almost daily little drip of like,
yeah,
somebody claims that the iPhone will have a corner radius that's one pixel different. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, I don't give a shit. But a lot of these are like, okay, LG and AU Optronics once again named as display suppliers for iPad mini coming in October. Actually, no, that was a bad example. That was a pretty good rumor. And the iPad mini did, in fact, come in that October. So that was right.
Wow.
And... Oh, yeah, there's a possible iPad mini. Oh, I remember the excitement for that. How many comments did an iPad mini rumor get? 119. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find another iPhone one. Ooh, here we go. Next generation iPhone to use A6 system on a chip. Correct, it did. Not for too sure. Bad. Well, a significant number of parts claimed to be for the next generation iPhone have appeared. The component of perhaps the most interest has yet to be seen, the processor package. Ooh, I want to see
back
several
photos.
When the
processor was the most interesting part of the phone.
That is true. Ugh. Damn. I wonder, actually, I think that might be correct. I think that is. That's kind of crazy that they just had a picture of the iPhone 5 logic board.
Yeah.
Just chilling a month before launch. Oh, wait, look, Sonny Dixon mentioned... Nice. 13 years ago.
Wow.
Look at that. Oh, yeah, there's another partial photo. Yeah, there's the A6. That is absolutely the iPhone 5 logic board. I like that this picture is called, though, iPhone 2012 logic board.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's kind of cool to see like what it looks like before, like the way that people discussed before it even existed. 268 comments. I don't know. I feel like there's a palpable excitement that were in those comments. How many? Let's go back to an older. We'll go back to like more recent articles, but I want to see something from like maybe a week ago. Let's go back a couple of days and find something that's like maybe a little bit more exciting, not like a Best Buy deal, a Mac. Where's like, give me an iPhone rumor. Oh wait, that's actually crazy. $40,000 for an iPod. Sorry, I've interacted with one of those, and it would probably sell for more than that.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I got a text like my guy who owns that thing. Gosh, when was the last? I'm trying to find an iPhone rumor. What's a guy got to do to find an iPhone? Okay, simplify. This was, oh yes, this was a good one. They're changing up the camera control button next year. 67 comments. The engagement is way less, it seems. I'm actually now noticing that they showed over here 65, 87, 185 for these tech woven. Oh God, those look terrible.
The blue one's already scuffed up in the corner.
They all look old.
Yeah, it looks like some like old linens that you like pull out of the attic.
I have a pair of shorts that I've had since 2017. They look just like that.
Ugh.
Okay, bad. 185 comments. But you see, those iPhone 5 articles were in the 2, 3, 4, 500 comments. That's funny. The Apple CEO Tim Cook featured in South Park. That got 235 comments. This one got 10. Oh, it's a sponsored review. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. It's just, sorry to keep, you know, harping on that. I do think that there's a shift.
I mean, I feel like tech used to be, is that warm at all?
Not at
Mine
all.
Mine wasn't either. I swear it used
See,
to
be. See, Noah gaslit us 15 minutes ago.
I swear that app used to heat up my phone, but not anymore. They fixed
it. If you're forgetting what the context was for this was, Noah was saying that sometimes Find My Friends makes his phone battery very warm. And I left it open for like 15 minutes and it is not.
Okay, they fixed it.
So unfortunately,
good job, Apple.
Maybe they fixed it in iOS 26.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But regardless of that, my point is, yeah, the phones used to be more exciting and now they're kind of boring. I mean, look, we looked at all those things, that the 12 things that are coming in the 17 series.
Mm.
And like you said, it really comes down to the marketing. First of all, it comes down to the design because, oh, we were going to look at Sam's. You want to pull up Sam's renders as well?
Oh, good idea.
Because the renders on that article didn't look super great.
Yeah, it was a Photoshop.
Yeah, so hopefully Sam's will look better and, you know, we'll get an idea about that. But like, I think that if they do the design right and it does, in fact, look good, I mean, it's something different. It's something new. And that's what we've been wanting.
Let me see if we can get some... Here we go. We got some Apple track rumors. Let's pop that on the... Oops. There it is. So this is probably the most accurate look. Although I don't see the antenna bands around the camera bump. So maybe that's... Mm. Oh, that was a crazy leak. That happened while we were gone too. The iPhone 17 spotted in the wild. That was a crazy one.
Wow.
I don't know. Okay, so what do you think visually? I think this is probably the best representation.
Yeah, let's pause it here. Okay. It looks much better than that other Photoshop job that we were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It looks different, which I think is a good thing. Because the iPhone, I mean, it's looked like this since the 11 Pro, the 12? What do you want to say?
I would...
12
I mean, you Pro? Could go 11 Pro for the frosted back and the cameras, right. 12 for like the square
the
sides. And
sure.
The, yeah.
So we'll say since the 12 Pro. It is time for a change. And I feel like, okay, we've been talking about this like big camera bump for a long time. And my opinion has always been like, it doesn't really seem necessary. Like, they're just doing it for the sake of doing it. Part of me is like, okay, that's fine. You can redesign something for the sake of doing it. Like, that doesn't have to be a negative. If the new design is worse, then that's negative. But that in and of itself doesn't have to be a negative. But if they have the antenna band that goes around the thing, and if the telephoto camera lens is bigger and they need to move the stuff, or maybe having the flash further away from the cameras is like better for the picture, whatever it is, if there's like a reason, then I don't mind it nearly as much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe I don't, whether I think it looks better or worse than it does now, if there's a good reason for it changing, like, that makes me feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, and I think the reason probably is the telephoto.
And that's honestly fair.
The one thing I will say, I just had a thought looking at this render. The by putting the flash and the mic and the LiDAR off on the other side, what are cases going to look like? Because a lot of cases just have a square cutout because, you know, all of those things, there's, you know, the mic is over there, you've got a little LiDAR, you've got the flash, it's all very compact. So we're kind of spreading those things out. Are there, because, you know, there are cases that cover those things with like a little piece of clear, but you can't cover the microphone. A lot of them will do a cutout. I mean, I guess there's going to be a lot of them, like those tech woven cases that have just like a big rectangular cutout and like that whole bar is going to be open. But in covered cases, are they going to have like three little holes on that side?
I guess so. I mean, I guess it's not super different than what they have right now. Like, you know, with the current iPhones, like they probably have those cutouts as well. So like, yeah, I guess I could see it. There's the iPhone in the water.
That is wild that leaked. Give us some more renders, Sam. Come on now. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is.
Oh, look at our boy.
Our sweet boy. I don't know, dude. I'm still... I feel like I could be convinced that this looks good, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, the camera bump's getting me a little bit. The duotone, two-tone back with the part aluminum, part glass.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like when Apple announces it and they show the official renders and the official everything, like, I feel like for me it's going to click in that moment. Because I feel like there are a lot of times where we talk about something and we're like, this seems weird. I don't know if I like this. And then Apple announces it and they show their, you know, they tell their story, they show it in their way, and then I get on board with it. So I kind of feel like that's going to be the case here. Like, I don't hate it to begin with. I need to be convinced. And I feel like Apple could convince me. And then you get
very persuadable.
Right, and you get a new design, and we've been saying for a while that we kind of want a new design.
Yeah, and look, they're delivering. I'm going to say something, though. I remember the rumors that they were going to do like an iPhone 4 callback where the whole back was going to be flat.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
And like, when I say I want to redesign, that's the stuff I'm talking about.
No, that would be, I mean, the camera bump, like putting it on a table and it like rocks around is annoying. And it really seems like not an oversight, but like a temporary measure that they're like, oh,
yeah, you're right.
We'll do it like this, but like eventually we're going to like do it right and put it flush in the camera.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because the first phone that had a camera bump was the iPhone 6. And when you look at that camera bump from today's perspective, you're like, oh, that's cute.
Yes, nothing.
But I remember people being like, oh my God, it doesn't lay flat. This is terrible. And then on the 7, it got bigger. On the 8, it got bigger. On the 10, it got bigger. The 11 Pro, it got huge for the time. And then it's only been getting bigger ever since. And so what we all thought was like, oh, well, yeah, they have to have that for now until they figure out how to... No. They're just...
That, but more.
Just make it big. Honestly, I think at this rate... The way that we'll get a flat back is just the camera bump takes over the entire phone.
Yeah, they're going to remove...
Whole thing is camera bump.
No more wireless charging. Just
gone.
Camera bump.
All camera bump. It'll be like, well, do you remember that one phone? Is like the Sony Xperia, whatever it was, that had just like a huge camera on the back of it. It was
part digital camera, part phone. Yeah,
that's what's gonna happen.
Okay, wait. Here's a hypothetical.
Mm.
Imagine, okay, the rumor about the iPhone, at least the Pro Max, being slightly thicker to have a bigger battery.
Mm.
What if they just made it as thick as the camera bump?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Just make the whole thing the same. If it's gonna be chunky, just make it chunky. Just commit. Give me a brick.
I don't know. Maybe it would be like significantly harder to one hand. Maybe it would be worse.
Whatever. Probably be very heavy.
And it would probably be heavy for sure. But like, I don't know. I would just be curious to see what it's like.
Yeah.
At the very least. The other thing that I'll say is like, okay, the new camera bump, I guess the phone theoretically won't be wobbly anymore. Right? It's not going to sit flat on the table, but it's not going to be wobbly.
I think you're right. I think, well, it depends, I guess, on the clearance for the rings. And that's what kills me the most, is when you rest an iPhone down.
No, you're right.
The part that contacts the surface is not even the metal painted ring, but like that little tiny inner ring that is like a bezel on the lens cover.
Yeah.
And that's the contact point. So now it'll be less, because you're right now you're rocking on the height difference between that part and the, you know, the back of the phone, and it'll be that versus like the height of the camera bump. So it'll be a much less wobble, but still I think it will wobble.
No, you're like, right.
Oh, we were so close. We were so close to having a phone where I could like use it on the table without going.
There's gotta be, okay, look, even if they can't make everything totally flush, like, you know, we have this sort of layer cake, if you will.
It kind of is.
Where you have the...
It's like a wedding cake.
You have the initial lip, and then you have the sensor itself. And I feel like if they made... Okay, here's another hypothetical. What if they just made the camera cutout tall enough so that they didn't need to have these rings? And then they made it the full wide. So the full width camera thing, and they made it tall enough that you didn't need to have these extra rings. Then it wouldn't wobble anymore.
I like that.
I don't know. Maybe it's worse. Maybe that's actually worse. Maybe it would look bad. I'm not an aesthetic person.
I'll tell you what, though. I bet you the reason they don't do that is because the camera team and the phone housing team are totally separate. And so they're like, who knows how thick the cameras might be. So you got to make a design that could allow you to, in the next year, just tweak it a little bit and make the cameras go. Whereas if you did that, you'd have to work together as a team. And they don't really do that at all.
That could be true. I could see it being like, I don't know, maybe if this part is like twice the height, it's like sticks out. I don't know. Maybe there's some reason why they don't do it like that. But I would like to know that reason.
I would like to know that reason, actually. Thank you very much.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what. So we're now probably 48 hours out from getting the event invites, which is pretty cool, pretty exciting. That's always a fun time. Obviously, I'll have a video and we'll kind of talk about... This has definitely informed my thought process for the iPhone 17.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, my question to you, are we doing an in-person keynote coverage, or is it going to be remote?
Probably remote.
Okay.
But we'll see about that. I'm very excited to... We haven't done an Apple event since, I guess,
Dub.
We haven't done a podcast since then.
Well, yeah, you ain't right wrong. You ain't wrong there.
I'm excited for that. I'm honestly excited for this event, because I feel like for the 17 series, there are some cool things. And if, like you said before, if Apple packages it right and presents it right, it could be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm honestly excited for the iPhone Air. I really want to like it, and I really want to get one, even though I'm probably not going to end up picking it. I want
that
to
be
do
good
it
for
right.
you. Because it's between... I feel like you've come to the conclusion that the Pro is too small.
Right.
I don't think you necessarily think the Pro Max... I think the Pro Max is good, but I think you would be more than willing to go down in size, but not all the way back to the Pro. And that's kind of the Air, right? It sits
yeah, exactly.
a little bit in the middle.
So the screen size seems great. And honestly, like, we're talking about the new design and stuff, and we're saying we want a new design, we want something a little bit different. Dude, that thing is so, like, breathtakingly thin. That's the design right there. And I get that, like, it's, like, thin whatever, like, you know, we don't want to go back to the iPhone 6 days, Bendgate, whatever, where they were prioritizing being thin over everything else. But, like, if you want to talk about a jaw-dropping phone that people are going to, like, look at and be like, oh, you got the new phone. Back to, when's the last time someone asked you got the new phone? If you have the Air, that's when people are going to ask you if you got the new, they're going to say, oh, you got the new phone.
That is a very good point. I think if you walk around with an iPhone Air, people are going to go, what is that?
Because there's no phones that are that crazy. Thin. There's no phone that's thin on the market right now.
I'm really worried that the battery life is going to be unusable and that it's not going to have enough cameras. That's my biggest fear.
The battery life, the one camera, maybe, I don't know about promotion. I don't know if that's going
to happen. I think it is going to have promotion, but the only having an earpiece speaker, no bottom speaker.
Ooh.
So it's going to be mono. And I, that's like,
not, yeah.
I would, honestly, I would have said 8 years ago, I wouldn't have cared. But now, because like, I feel like 8 years ago, what were you doing with your speaker? Maybe playing Angry Birds, maybe watching a video back on your phone, an occasional YouTube video, sure. You were maybe, what else would you be doing? I mean, listening
phone
to like
call a... Phone speakerphone.
No. Yeah, speakerphone. You weren't doing anything too crazy. I think now people use their phone speakers so much more. A lot of people just straight up watch YouTube videos in their house on their phone speaker.
Or on the bus. Or on an airplane.
Yeah.
Or in the supermarket now.
They do.
I mean, they do.
My God. But, please stop.
No, I agree. I watch a lot of YouTube on my phone. So I feel like... So my point is, 17 seems like it could be great. I'm really interested in the Air. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to end up getting it as much as I want to. But at the very least, it'll be cool to see. And it will establish that category... So that next year, if they do another Air next year, and maybe they fix some of the issues that we're going to have this year, maybe not all of them, but then maybe in 2 years they fix even more issues. Ooh. And eventually the Air could become something that I could get. Maybe.
Interesting. So you think it's going to be like an Apple Watch situation? Because you bought the original Apple Watch at launch because you were so excited, and then you returned it and waited for, you know, a couple generations before it was more polished.
I think we're talking about all these issues, and there are people talking in the comments saying like, oh, it's, you know, they're worried about it, or oh, it's not going to work, whatever, whatever. So I kind of feel like some of these things are going to come true. That's just the nature of how it is. But like, yeah, give it a few years. You were talking about solid state batteries before. Like, battery's a huge concern. Okay, fix the battery, and that's great. Maybe they can add a second camera somehow, or make the first camera more powerful so it can do 0.5, 1, and 2. I don't know if
that
would
possible. Be sick. Oh, but my
like,
God.
If they could fix it up enough, then like maybe in a couple generations it could be good enough. So if they do this and they stick to it, it's something that I'm going to look like I'm going to watch closely in the future.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, we've talked about the iPhone 17 Air before, and I think that's exactly the problem that I have with it. Like, I obviously I'm excited for it. But I'm just, I can tell, the gut feeling that I have is that I'm going to look at it and go, dang, that is really cool. And I'm going to get one to review, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to be like, wow, this thing is just something else. But then reality is going to set in, and I'm going to say, it sounds like crap. Oop, the battery is running away, like the runnings of the bulls in Barcelona. And... I need the cameras. I can't do 1x, 2x front facing. That just, it's not, for some people, it might not be an issue. For me, I literally need the triple camera system.
No, that's fair. And yeah, I feel like it's going to be like, you know, the MacBook, was it the 2016 MacBook? Is that right year?
Yeah.
Or like some of these things that Apple does, like the MacBook was a game changer in a lot of ways, but like for the future, but that product itself,
yeah,
we've talked about this before. That product itself was not great, but it changed a lot of things and it set the pace. And I feel like that's what Apple's going to do. They're going to say like this, you know, iPhone Air is going to like set the, you know, they said iOS 26 is going to set the design language for the next decade or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Air can set the design language. It's been a while since the iPhone 10. Maybe that'll set the design language and we'll work our way towards it being good.
But the only, I agree, but the only thing that gives me pause about that is that I don't think there is a different design language about it though. Like it's kind of just the same stuff but thinner. So I fear that what we're going to actually need is, I mean, I guess probably technologies under the hood in that are going to make phones thinner possible. Because I'm very curious to hear, you know, we obviously have known the dimensions of the phone for a while, 5.5 millimeters thin or whatever. But it's going to be really interesting to hear Apple talk about how they did it, because I'm sure, as with everything, we know it's going to be thin, but they're going to tell us like, what were the technologies that they used to make it that thin? And that, I think, is going to be informative for what those technologies can do for the rest of the iPhone lineup in the future.
No, exactly. That's kind of, yeah, maybe it's less so like the MacBook or the iPhone 10, but just like, you know, okay, the 16e, for example, we can shit on that phone all day, but like,
yeah.
I don't know, they put the new Apple, what was it, the C1 chip or something for the cellular chip. It's like now an in-house Apple chip.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that might actually be a big deal. Like when that comes to the other phones, and if it's like more power efficient and or faster, like whatever it does better, like that could be a big deal. And so I feel like maybe there will be some things, you know, in order for them to engineer it to be this thin, I feel like there's going to be some pretty interesting under the hood stuff. So maybe not like secret features or whatever, but like some very interesting under the hood stuff of how they managed to cram everything into a phone like this. And like you said, it'll carry over to the other phones that are not trying to be the thinnest phone in the world. And I think that the thin phone will improve over time. Maybe it's not like an iPhone 10 level change, but I think that there are going to be, you know, we've talked about like the iPhone 6 era. They were going for thinness and they sacrificed too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rebounded and got to where phones were thicker and we weren't sacrificing that. And now maybe the next step from that is where we get that thinness back, but we aren't making those sacrifices anymore. Maybe the technology is there, or it's going to get to that point where we get that. And maybe that's the next.
But the sacrifice thing is still battery. And I think that the rumors suggest we are still going to give that up.
But okay. That's fair. But like maybe they're able to make the battery more efficient. Maybe in a few years solid state battery comes out, or maybe it's, you know, the regular, the non-Air phones get these improvements that the Air had and they're able to cram more battery in to the same space, or they get a little bit thinner with the same battery or something. There's like something that the Air can give to the iPhone lineup as a whole.
I'll tell you what.
And to itself.
To make the phone that thin, I guarantee they had to make the logic board thinner. I guarantee they had to make the display thinner. The modem, the antennas, the cameras. I mean, the thing that a lot of people don't really realize is that when you take apart the back of an iPhone, you know, this whole camera bump is all a cover, basically. Like, this is all part of the back piece. And when you take that off, what's underneath is like this little block of cameras, that module. And that goes all the way through to the screen. So like, the reason the cameras stick out is just because the cameras are that thick. I think a lot of people, I don't know, it seems obvious when you think about it, but it's also not obvious. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a logic board over here, there's a battery over here, and then there's camera. So that must mean, if we use our powers of deduction, that in this camera stack that goes pretty much all the way through, you've got that 48 megapixel camera. That's the camera that is rumored in the iPhone Air, but it's like 3 millimeters less.
Right.
So that must mean that they have figured out how to make these cameras that much thinner. Which then begs the question, why are we still having a camera bump?
I mean, we'll see. I feel like there's going to be some interesting things that come out of this keynote. Just like when they explain how they did all this stuff and talk about it, I feel like there's going to be some things that come out of it that like explain. And maybe we'll see some of those things immediately in the iPhone 17, like the rest of the phones. And maybe some of them will come over time. Mm-hmm. But regardless of, you know, what it is, I feel like there's going to be something. They made it thinner somehow. They crammed everything in there. They must have. I'm sure this phone has been in the works for a long time, and they've done a lot to make it happen. And like that's the thing that excites me, like the phone itself, but maybe more so like what it could mean for the future of that line and for all the other iPhones. Like maybe this could finally be that it's not just, you know, incremental designs, but like maybe they're really trying, like they're trying really, like, you know, harder now than they have in the past. I don't know.
And I think you're right. I think you are right. That is, I think that will be the main story for the Air. Is Apple kind of saying, okay, look, we tried Mini, we tried Plus. It wasn't enough to capture people's attention. So we need, I guess they're at the very bare minimum, they're understanding that you need to do more than just, you know, make the little guy or the big guy.
Right.
So I'm very curious. But I'll tell you what I'm also curious about. I'm not going to be here next Sunday, so we're already going to be off then. But September 7th, which will be either 1 or 2 days before the Apple event, I think we're on for then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have another episode before the iPhone event. Then the 14th, are you here for that?
I might not be.
Dang.
We'll
okay.
See, we'll see.
And then I'm going to be in Australia. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. We'll have another event where we can get excited. We'll obviously be doing our event coverage live here on the channel, during the actual event, which we'll provide more details next, in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm always nervous nowadays because I feel like Apple has been disappointing me in a lot of ways, but I think I'm more excited this year than I was last.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the 16 series was not particularly exciting. I feel like this is gonna be a better year for all of the phones, especially the Air, in my opinion, but like for all the phones, I think it's gonna be a better year.
Well, fingers crossed and subscribe buttons clicked so that you guys can check it out and see if, in fact, it is a better year. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and have a great night.
Take care.